Hey, today is March 19th, 2010. I'm Sherry Bowers, Local History Coordinator of the Milan-Berlin Township Public Library. And I am sitting here with Steve Preselius, and we're going to talk about the photograph that was taken by Larry Lambert 20 years ago. This was a project that was started for Larry's graduate work, and we just recently finished a retake 20 years later of all the photographs. So what I would like to start first with asking Steve about this wonderful photograph, because I don't know very little about tractors, but you are sitting on the wheel of a tractor. Can you tell me about it?
Well, he asked me to come out and take a picture, and I said, sure. And we kicked around different ideas and finally decided just go sit in that tractor wheel and see how that comes out. So I went and sat in the duel, and that's where he took the picture.
You know, it's amazing. I was able to, of course, accompany him on this retake of the photograph, and which he tried to make the setting the same again in the wheel of the tractor. And it's striking because each photograph that he's taken of all the individuals, it just really is, it makes you wonder. It's a setting in time, and it makes you want to think about what actually the person is thinking about, because in that picture, it's wonderful because I'm wondering, you know, you farm and you do, you also work a full-time job, correct?
Yes.
Tell me what kind of farming you do.
Well, today it's just beans and corn mainly, and popcorn. And 20, 30 years ago, it was a whole bunch of a mixture of things, because you had all your, like Norwalk had Stokely's, it was a cannery, so we raised a bunch of vegetables and stuff for them, and Fremont had the G&W sugar, so we raised sugar beets for them, so we were a lot more diverse back then than what we do now.
Is that typical, though, of farming? Would you say 20 years ago, was there more diversity in farming?
Yeah, you had many. You spread it out over more. So, I mean, a couple of things might not have a good year, but it was always equaled out, you know. Instead of having everything corn like now, and if you had a bad year with one of them crops, well, you don't have all the other diversity or whatever to even things back out.
You know? I'm thinking, too, with maybe, is that probably, too, because of manufacturing? Because I didn't realize there was a Stokely's in Norwalk.
Yeah. Well, and there was also a, I believe it was Hunt's, was tomato factory in Sandusky, where Seal Master is now on Campbell Street, and that we raised tomatoes for them, so we had quite a mixed bag of different, of course you had to have a lot of different equipment too compared to today.
So probably it seems like it's more economical to just go to either one or two types of crops rather than, I mean, you're probably forced by the market somewhat, aren't you?
Right, there's just, all those markets aren't here anymore like they were back then. There's no Stokely's. We had peas and beans, or lima beans and peas, and pie pumpkins, sweet corn, cabbage. And slowly they kept eliminating everything until just the last few years was just cabbage for sauerkraut, and then they quit altogether. And then when the sugar plant got shut down, and that got rid of the sugar beets, unless you wanted to haul them up halfway up into Michigan, and that wasn't economical to do that, so got out of the sugar, and they closed the tomato plant, so we got out of that. So.
Now, there's a plant in Fremont, is that Heinz in Fremont?
I believe that's Heinz, yeah, the tomato plant in Heinz.
So that would probably be the closest one that I could think of
right,
in this area.
Right, there's also
ship to.
A plant in Fremont that still processes cabbage, too. But when Norwalk got out, we just got away from it and got more into just the corn and beans.
When you, so farming has changed. What about, you're out there and that's, is that a tractor or a combine? Or
that's a tractor.
That's a tractor, okay.
And we still have that tractor. But the picture they took, the second picture 20 years later, is a different tractor. little newer.
Okay.
But we do have still have that one. We don't use it much, but we use it in a pinch. It still runs.
So when does your season start? Because I know now that it's starting to dry up, the fields are. I heard this once, I was listening to some homily in church, and they were talking about, he was talking about how winds are good. Farmers like the winds, or the importance of the winds to dry out the field. So when does your season usually start? You try to get out there and start plowing.
I did all the plowing in the fall. So basically all I got to do is wait for the fields to dry off enough that you can get out on them. Have to put fertilizer on and fit the ground down before we do any planting. But that'll be usually by the second, third week of April. You can start getting out there and getting that stuff done and start planting usually around the end of April, 1st of May.
Then you work so that you're probably busy 24/7, really.
I work third shift, so when it's nice outside, I do the farm work when the sun's shining and sleep when I can. Either when I first come home or a couple hours before I go back in at night. So.
How many acres do you farm?
I only farm just a little under 200.
Okay.
Back 20 years ago, the generation before us, there was three brothers and uncle all farmed together. So they had four different farms, and there was a lot more acres. But then that generation are getting older, and they got retired, and a couple passed away, and everything sort of got split up. So it's not all there anymore. So
your family, you said your family's been around here for a long time. When would you say that, just about when did you settle in this area, your family?
They first came over in around the 1850s.
Okay.
So it's been a while. And it's been right, the farm I'm on now was bought in the 30s with my grandpa. He bought it in the 30s. And the main farm that they settled on in the 1850s was just down the road a ways that one of the neighbors own now.
Okay.
My grandfather's father bought and sold some farms in the Depression time. He must have had a little money to buy things, and then he sold things after the Depression years. So all the farms that had a long time ago are not around anymore. But neither are the ones that we had just 20 years ago either. So
and you said that there were four, back a generation ago, there were four families that farmed. So it seems like almost everyone in your family farmed at some point.
My grandpa and his brother farmed, and then my grandpa had three boys and three girls, so the three boys ended up farming that half. And my grandpa's brother, my great uncle, he just had girls and they didn't farm, but they all farmed together until he passed away. And then my dad and his brothers farmed that half of the farm until my great uncle's wife passed away, and then it was passed down to the daughters, and then it got sold off. So we didn't buy that up, so we lost a good chunk of what they were doing. If we still had that, maybe I would be farming full time instead of working nights.
it seems, you know, it's probably, you know, you read about the stories, it's an end of an era for a lot of family farms in terms of, you know, most people not going, you know, families continuing with the farming, or like you said, in just, you know, the short time, either having girls and deciding not to farm, or just, you know, deciding to do other things. And you have two daughters, correct?
Right. So I don't know where it goes after me.
Yeah. So
it started in the 1850s, and it might end here.
Oh, so there are no boys around to, not that girls couldn't farm by any means, but
my dad's brothers, they each had a boy, but neither of them farm, so I don't, and they don't, the one boy has two girls, and I don't see it going any further. You know, I don't know what the name will be on the next person that farms the land, but it won't. I doubt if it'll be Chryselius anymore.
You know, it's interesting when you think about how family farms are shrinking. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what's going on or what you see as a trend in farming? You know, because you've heard people talk about mega farms, and at least what do you think is going to happen in this area? Do you see maybe just some bigger farms, maybe some people joining together to farm, maybe not necessarily families, but friends or other people that know and maybe joining together to make bigger farms? Could that trend be happening, or is it hard to tell in this area?
It's hard to tell. I think it's going to stay in the families, but the bigger ones are going to probably buy up the smaller, because you're not going to make it on just a couple hundred acres like families used to be able to. Well, when there was four of them, the generation before, they were farming just a little over 1,000 acres that supported four families. Yeah, so, and today, you'd be supporting a single family with that amount of acres.
Oh, so you have to have, there's a certain amount of, so at least 1,000 acres to support a single family?
That'd be probably pretty good, because you got to... Equipment isn't cheap anymore. Mm-hmm. You're not using horses and things.
Right.
So it takes a lot to run the operation and keep the equipment up and buy equipment. And so yeah, it definitely takes a lot more acres now than what it did 20, 30 years ago.
Now, when you're getting ready to take things to the market, I remember on the title of the photograph, also mentioned grain elevator operator. Is that, what was your role with that? Is that just part of what you did in terms of taking the grain to the market?
Well, I worked at the elevator.
Oh, you did work at the elevator at the time.
20 years ago, my dad and his brothers, that was their operation, and I just was helping them.
Okay.
And I was working off the farm. Now I'm doing the farming, plus I'm still working off the farm.
Okay.
But it's shrunk down a lot since, I mean, like I say, it was 1,000 acres then, and now I'm just a little over 200 acres, or a little under 200 acres is what I'm farming.
What does a grain elevator operator do? I mean, you see them, and I guess I go past, but, you know, I have to ask this question because not everyone knows.
Yeah, it's just we ran a feed mill. We grind feed and stuff for livestock, and had a fertilizer department where we spread fertilizer and stuff in the springs and loaded the carts and stuff for the farmers coming in. And then in the fall, you're dumping the grain and drying the grain and putting it in the bins and hauling it and loading railroad cars and things like that.
Okay, because I was wondering about that. I know that I can remember years ago, Huron, they had, of course, there were the coal docks, and mm-hmm. I remember farmers always taking their grain into Huron. Mm-hmm. And of course, now that's a marina, but that used to be for years. I don't know how long that, you know, it's been out of business, but it's been a while. So transporting, I guess the grain would be there in this area by truck, to certain places, or primarily to probably in Huron, places like that.
Well, when Huron closed down, it really hurt this area because they could load up boats there, mm-hmm. and they had the rail, and they closed that down. So all the people from east of here that used to haul there are now coming to the elevator where I used to work on Mason Road, just a little ways down from Ehovi. And it's just really more than they can handle. It's you're sitting in line all day long to get unloaded a couple times, and there's just not the storage facilities around as much now, especially since that is closed, because they had a lot of volume there.
Oh, I remember that, piles of grain, you know, where what is now the parking lot there, but I remember the large piles of grain. Every year you would see that. And I can remember, this I knew only because my uncle farmed in Lodi. He would bring his grain up there into Huron from Lodi. So it must have serviced a fairly large area in Ohio.
Well, even the smaller elevators would haul to that terminal to get, because the boats, mainly loading out the boats there. Because most of the small elevators are located on rail. Mm-hmm. So most of the corn, wheat was hauled to here, and even from the elevators. And the beans, well, most of them go to Bellevue, I believe, around here because of the central soya plant there where they process beans. If that would close, then I'd be in trouble there too. But I don't foresee that closing anytime soon. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not.
Well, you know, I've heard too that railroad traffic is picking up at times, that it's gotten very busy, and I guess it surprises me, you know, after telling me this, that why Huron closed. I guess there were probably other factors, but it seems.
I don't know.
It just seems like it was always busy, and that surprises me because, you know, some things continue to go on. You know, you still need to produce food, and that, especially being a place where you can have access to the lake and beyond.
Yeah, that was location, and it was a good place, and then I don't know why it closed either. Economics, I suppose, and could sell it to. Put a boat ramp in, I guess.
Yes. Well, that's big too in this area. You know, it's fascinating to look at that picture. And did you grow up thinking, knowing that you wanted to go into farming, or did you fall into it? Because sometimes, you know, from a very early age, some people really know what they want to do.
Yeah, I always figured I'd be a farmer, but I figured it'd be a full-time job, and I figured the farm would stay intact, and it didn't, so things didn't quite work out the way I was hoping, but at least I ended up with a small chunk of it, so something I'll be able to keep doing even after I retire my night job.
And maybe, you know, when you look at a photograph like this, you know, I look at it and there's a certain satisfaction I think a lot of people have, especially when they choose what they want to do and really love it. I think there's, you know, it's apparent there's a passion there. So 20 years later, you're still farming, and you intend to keep farming as long as you can.
Yeah, as long as I can get up in the tractor and keep moving.
Tell me a little bit about life growing up in this area, because obviously you were born and raised in this area, and you have two daughters, one that is back in this area, another one that I believe Chicago.
Yeah, she's in Chicago, working in the big city.
And the reason I ask you that is because some of the individuals that I've had an opportunity to interview, some have lived around here, others, you know, were born and raised here. And there's that sense of ties to this area. Still, you know, some people move away because and they can't come back. But what's your feelings? I mean, did you ever think that you wanted to leave Milan? Tell me about growing up here or this area.
No, I never. I always, growing up a kid on a farm, I always figured that'd be what I'd do. I didn't ever. I think I'd be going anywhere. I enjoyed my childhood. I enjoyed the farm aspect of it. So I didn't want to go working in a factory or anything like that, even though that's what I do now, plus the farming. But economics forced my hand, what I had to do. So.
Did you... So you graduated from Medicine High School, correct?
Yes.
Because I know that where you live out on And Strucker. Okay, because I know there's somewhere a cutoff that's closer to Perkins, and I figured that you went to school here at Edison.
Yeah, I'm not too far from Perkins or Monroeville. It's sort of go a couple miles either way. You could be at Perkins or Monroeville.
Most of the people out in, because it's Oxford Township, correct? Or is it
right? I'm Milan, right at the edge of Milan.
Oh, right at the edge of Milan Township. So, but over is Oxford Township, correct?
Right.
So most of the farmers out there too, I think, have been there for quite a while. Am I right? Because I know there's some names that, that family names that have been around here or around this area or have farmed in the area for a long time.
Well, a lot of them farms just down the road were farms that my great grandpa sold to the, like the Wilnows and the Dawses.
Yes.
Those are some of the farms that my great grandpa owned at one time. And they've been around since early 1900s, you know, in the 30s anyway.
You know, speaking of people just down the road, maybe I'm just thinking because of a recent headline in the newspaper, Fred Deering passing away.
Yeah.
Did you know the Deerings real well? I think mostly probably everyone did. And
sure.
I think almost everyone can say they knew Fred.
Yeah.
And he farmed too, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they had a pretty good operation there. Plus he was in politics half his life or longer. But both of his sons are both farming yet. They got a pretty good farm. They've had chicken operation for as long as I can remember.
That's right. They do. I remember that I had been out to the farm once before. So livestock around here. I know that there are some farms that do have livestock. I'm thinking mostly though, is it mostly corn and beans around your area? But I know, like in Berlin Heights, there seems, well, there are the orchards. But I know the Hinmans have a dairy farm yet. They still are, I think, the only dairy farm in this area. And that used to be big. Were there any dairy farms in the Milan area? Because I think, I don't know, I'm not sure, don't quote me on this, but the way I understand it, that there were quite a few dairy farms in the area.
There's just down the road was Gene Schaefer from where I live, and his brother, Bud Schaefer, they both had dairy farms. And Wilnow's, Scott Wilnow had a dairy farm. And the Rollins, down closer to Bellevue off of Strucker Road, they still have a dairy farm. And Matt Thayer's got a dairy farm down the corner of Strucker Road and 99. But they're getting fewer and farther apart. And that's the main livestock that is left around here, would be the dairies.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of cattle and sheep and hogs like that around anymore. Even though there's a Daisy Field right over there on Perkins Ave. Is it Bogart Road?
Okay.
Ruth Packing's right on Bogart Road that processes thousands of swine a day. Most of them come from Indiana and out of state.
Okay, that's true. I forgot about that with Ruth Packing, and I don't know anyone really that raises.
I mean, there's a few here and there, but no big operations.
Steve, I'm wondering, with the dairy farming, and you mentioned a few that are still in business, but they're slowly becoming fewer and farther between. Is it harder to stay in dairy farming, or is that one of those things that just depends?
If you're raised on a dairy farm, you probably have more of a tendency to stick with it because you're married to the cows. Because
mm-hmm.
they're there, and you gotta take care of them every day. You know, it's a 365 day. You got to milk them twice a day. It's a lifestyle you gotta want to do.
and I do know, like you said, farmers, you know, south of Berlin Heights and Hinmans, I know that they can't leave their cows,
mm-hmm.
and I imagine that's probably why there might be a little more of a tendency maybe to get out of it because. Mm-hmm. Of the time constraints?
I don't see a whole lot of people getting into it that have never been in a dairy. I mean, you just don't see new ones starting up. It's the old ones continuing to the next generation, and then it's pretty expensive to keep in that business too, with all the health updates and everything you got to keep up on. It's a lot involved.
When you when you're done planting or your crops, then it's pretty much it's all over. Then you just have to wait, right? There's very little. Is there? What do you have to do once
everything's in the ground? You have to spray for weeds and the corn. You knife in anhydrous ammonia. Once it's knee high or a little less than that, you put more fertilizer on it. You got to spray the beans a couple times. And watch out for pests and things that you might have to spray for. So, but it slows down a little bit. If you're just doing beans and corn, if you don't have any other. If you have some livestock, then of course you got something to do, a little something every day. And if you raise a little hay or something like that, you're baling hay 2 or 3 times during the summer. So, but for just corn and beans, once you get it in the ground, and you just have to spray it a couple times and hope that it rains and the sun shines. And
yeah, you're at the mercy of the weather. Did you, did anyone in your family ever raise livestock?
Yeah. We always, back in before the mid-70s, I suppose, there was 4 farms, and every farm, one farm was a dairy, and the one farm had a lot of gullies and stuff in woodland, so that was all fenced in. They had a lot of sheep in there because you couldn't farm it, and they grazed sheep in there. And then the other two farms always had beef cattle and hogs. I mean, everybody had a big old barn, and every barn had animals in them. Yeah.
So there was always pretty much a selection of things, probably for the families. I mean, there was always, even in, I think, tougher times, probably you had access to, different livestock and of course what you planted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always had food. You weren't going to run out of food, that's for sure. I can remember back in the day when I was real young, we used to, once or twice a year, you'd get everybody together on the weekend, and you'd like butcher, and all the women in the house were stuffing sausage and stuff, and the men were outside doing the butchering. And
oh, they would do it themselves then?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You would. Now you throw it in a trailer and take it to the butcher shop.
But they would do it themselves and make sausage, okay.
Yeah, it's... You did all that stuff yourself back then. Lots of the things that you would hire out done now, like your barn building and stuff like that. You did all that stuff yourself back then. We even had my great uncle's farm behind, and they had a woods right behind the house, and there was a sawmill there. They cut all the wood and cut the wood for the neighbors and building their barns, and they even cut the wood out to build the old bridge that went across Mudbrook Road.
Okay.
That washed away in 1969. Bridge was all cut out of our sawmill back way before my time, but I can still remember when I was a kid that going out there in the wintertime, because they kept busy in the wintertime just sawing wood back there all the time. For themselves and for the neighbors, whoever had some logs and he saw it. That was interesting.
You know, going back to, I want to tell you something it occurred to me too when you were mentioning about butchering your own animal. I know that there's very few places around here that, because we do get our beef, we buy our beef from a local farmer, and I know there are very few places now that butcher. It usually seems to go to now the smaller, at least, establishments that still do. There are a few around here, but mm-hmm. now it seems like you're going to be limited in those choices too, that you're going to, you're not going to be able to go to any place but a bigger place, and probably not even be able to do that. At least that's the way I understand it, yeah. that it's very hard for, I think of Myers Brothers in Huron, mm-hmm. because I don't know if there's anyone that will take over the business after they're gone.
Right.
And Kevel Brothers, mm-hmm. the same thing. And I think there's only, what, Rossberts are the only other ones?
Rossberts and Fisher's over in Norwalk. So there's still some around, but like you say, who knows if it'll continue for another generation. You know? Mm-hmm. They're small, and people move away and go to better paying things, if they can find better paying things.
Your daughters, do you think, do they miss the farm at all? Of course you have one daughter that lives around here now, but your daughter in Chicago, is she truly in love with city life, or does she miss home?
I don't know. They don't live in town in Chicago. They live probably an hour out of town. So they live in agricultural land, and her husband's family has a nursery. So she's still
somehow tied the land to the land.
Yeah. She don't enjoy the hour-long train ride she's got to go downtown Chicago every day and every night home, but she's not, at least not living in Chicago.
And your other daughter is a veterinarian, right. Which is she's in a practice that takes care of mostly small animals, correct? Right. She doesn't have an interest in larger farm animals. Or did she ever have a thought that she may go into that?
She thought she would. I mean, we always had animals at home, and she had her pet animals when she was growing up. But I think that's why she leaned towards being a vet to begin with, because of the farm animals. And I think she plans on staying around the area and probably live in Milan or build a home out on the farm somewhere. Maybe her and her husband will take over the farm someday, or have control of it anyway to lease it or whatever happens to it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he'll ever farm it or she'll ever farm it. Maybe someday I'll have a grandson or something that might want to farm it. But.
And then it will continue.
Hopefully, yes.
Steve, is there anything that you'd like to add that you could think about in terms of the photograph when it was taken? Because, like I said before, it's a wonderful photograph. And any thoughts about the time that when it was taken, or? Would you say that as that you more so than?
Yeah, I guess I. Like I say, I always figured that's what I'd be doing, and I guess that's a pretty appropriate picture for me to be setting on a piece of farm equipment, because I've been doing it since I was tall enough to crawl up on one and put it in gear and go.
So you were quite young when you first started?
Yeah.
On a tractor.
I've been driving tractors since I was 6, 7 years old, probably. Like I say, once my foot reached the clutch, I could go. Other kids were brought up on lawnmowers. I was brought up on a tractor.
It seems to me that it sometimes it must get into your blood. And then 20 years later, looking at the photograph 20 years later, there's still, I think, that same look, in the sense of a love of what you do. Well, I really thank you for taking this opportunity to talk about the photograph, and I think this is a very helpful, especially for people to learn a little bit about the people in this area and what they do. And every interview, I've learned quite a bit, and I thank you very much for the interview.
It's been a pleasure.